Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Wow, I truly cannot wait for you guys to hear this next episode. It is our first live podcast recording, which took place last night in none other than Liberty, London. And oh my God, it was such a powerful one. I really felt like it had a real strong effect on me. I think it was very cathartic talking about, in part, the ways that I do struggle with self-love and realizing what we all do, and that's okay. And just went away feeling so much calmer and, yeah, really full of love.
Oh, I came away feeling so full of love as well. We were messaging each other, weren't we, afterwards?
Yeah.
Just saying how great we felt from spending a whole evening talking about our favourite topic, love.
Yeah.
And just the people that we met. It was such a gorgeous group. It was such an intimate evening. I just felt so inspired. So full of love afterwards.
Amazing.
And it is the perfect way to kick off our season of love,
Yay.
Where we're going to be celebrating love in all its forms, challenging the modern day narrative that love is something that you only receive from that one special romantic partner, otherwise known as the one, and reminding us that we all have the power within us to fill ourselves up with love from the inside out.
Yeah, and so we would love to invite you to join us in celebrating self-love and to join our self-love challenge, 28 Days of Love, over on Instagram.
We'll show you how easy it really can be to give yourself a dose of self-love each and every day and what a difference that makes. So head on over to Instagram at Love Project Love or our website at loveprojectlove.com to find out how to join in the fun.
So we also have some other exciting news. This Sunday is the first in our new Get Ready for Love series here on the podcast. It's dedicated to offering practical tips and guidance on how to navigate the modern dating world and find the right partner for you. So if you or someone you know is currently navigating the dating world, then make sure you tune in this Sunday for the first episode.
Yay! So thank you, as ever, for being wonderful listeners, and we hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome. Thank you for coming to our very first live podcast recording. A friend of mine said you are going to love having a live studio audience, and I think she might be right.
Yeah.
You might have to come to every podcast recording from now on. Thank you to Liberty for inviting us. This space is amazing. I want to live here now. I may be moving in. And thank you to all of you guys. So this, our podcast, how many of you have listened to our podcast before? So lots of people here. So, for those of you who haven't heard of us or haven't listened to our podcast before, maybe tell them a little bit about us.
So I'm Vicky and this is Selina, and we are the founders of Project Love, and it is our mission to help people to create lives and relationships that they love. And we do that through our Get Ready for Love course, our Goodbye Hello journals, and our Project Love podcast show that most of you know because you just raised your hand and said that you were listening to it.
So just to manage your expectations for tonight, this is not a kind of traditional talk or a workshop. It really is like our usual podcast. So it's just one big conversation diving deep into our favourite topic, love, obviously. And as you're all here, we are going to be inviting you, if you wish to get involved in that conversation. So if you have a question at any point or something you'd like to add, then just raise your hand. We've got a Romu mic. If you don't want to speak at all, then relax. You don't have to talk. We won't be like picking people out of the crowd. And we'll just be inviting you to take part in the conversation as we go along. It is going to be a conversation. So sometimes I will go off tangent. Sometimes we might lose our thread.
Yeah, definitely.
So today's episode, we're going to be talking about our favourite topic, which is love, but in particular, looking at love with a fresh new approach. So we're going to be talking about why we are so passionate about busting through modern day myths about love, what impact those beliefs around love are having on our lives and our relationships, We're going to be looking at another way of approaching love that is far more empowering and liberating, and actually helps us to flourish as individuals and in relationships. We're going to be talking about how, on a very practical level, you can achieve love on the inside, and then how from there, no, not achieve it, activate love on the inside, and then how from there you can start to fill all areas of your life with love. So just that in a simple hour. I know, I don't, well, I mean, we might be
We're
here for some time, yeah. So, yeah, let's jump in, let's get the conversation started.
Okay, so when it comes to love and what we've been led to believe about love, there is one strong narrative that prevails and we never question it, and that is that love is something that you only receive from that one special romantic partner, otherwise known as the one. And that romantic love is all there is. There are no other forms of love. It's romantic love. And if you are in a relationship, then you have love. And if you're not in a relationship, then you don't have love. And I think we've all been influenced by the Disney fairy tales of Prince Charming coming to rescue us, and the rom-coms and having somebody to complete us. And I was definitely influenced by this growing up. I really believed that there was only one form of love. It was only romantic love. And so I hated being single because I felt like that was a lack of love. Mm. And it's so sad to realise that now with what I know about love, but that's what it felt like back then. And, you know, I really thought relationships were all about having someone to rescue you and having someone to complete you. Who here also subscribed to this notion of love growing up? Okay, yeah. And so when we put this ad to our Instagram following, we saw the same thing. People talking about the Prince Charming and the happily ever after. And those narratives are what are really keeping us stuck.
And then when you find the one, it's easy. Happily ever after, right? I mean, I was completely obsessed with the whole idea of finding love. Like, when I looked, as a child, I looked at my future. That was all I was interested in. And for me, it was going to solve everything. It was, that was the thing that was going to make me happy and complete. That was the thing that was going to make me feel like I was whole and that I mattered. And we still hear this. And that, not just as a child, I was really believing this well into my 20s, 30s. We're going to talk in a moment about the impact of that. But we still, you know, we work with women all the time now who are, many of them, looking for love and dating, and we still hear this. And even when intellectually, now with the self-love movement, we've got alternative, you know, ideas about love, even when intellectually we know, oh yeah, no, it doesn't just come from that, a lot of the time, subconsciously, we're still coming from that place. And I definitely find, even with all the work, you know, with Project Love, like, we talk about this all day long, and I still find myself in my relationship slipping into thinking, you're supposed to make me happy. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to fix this. I feel rubbish. This is your job. And so it's such a deeply rooted narrative, and I think it's something that we have to just keep checking in on, and while also inspiring ourselves with a different approach and looking at love. And so the impact of this narrative is causing so much suffering. It's making dating like a pressurized nightmare. It's making relationships feel disappointing. We're not surprised that there is such a high divorce rate, anxiety, loneliness, with this being the idea of this is where love is supposed to come from. And the other thing is, it strips you of your power, that actually you are the one that can give yourself that feeling of completeness and wholeness and love and peace. And I wish I'd been taught this as a child. I feel like there were so many wasted years, not just childhood, like I said, adulthood as well, of like waiting, feeling like it was missing, wondering if I was ever going to feel like that, if I was ever going to find the person that made me feel like that. And just kind of preparing for this talk today, I felt really sad about it, like how much of my childhood and early adulthood was spent waiting for that person to come and make me feel better.
And I think the language around love as well, it's so passive, like falling in love and being swept off our feet, which feels quite passive. And rather than standing in love, which feels very empowering and active. And there's a book, I'll read a bit from this book in a moment. It sounds very academic. I'm just going to reach for my book now.
I bought my book. because it's very good.
It's just packed full of wisdom. And it was just so influential in when we were developing Love, Project Love, back in 2013. But he, Eric Frome, the author of this book, this was written in the 1950s and still as relevant today as it ever was. And he was talking about love being something that you cultivate. And it's a verb and it's a doing word and it's something that you can practice. And it's not a noun. I think when you were talking just now, as hearing this, it's like a thing that you get from somebody else.
Oh my God,
rather
yeah.
Than something that you can actually practice and you can start today. And I think there's such a difference there. It's not like you have to wait for it. You know, you can do it. You can start right now. You can start to practice love. And what's so good about that and so interesting is that if love is a practice that we can all then learn, then we can all get really good at love.
Yeah. What's interesting about Eric Frome, he wrote this incredible book, but when it gets into like how you do it, I did a couple of pages which basically said, I don't really know. I know we should, and I know we can get really good at it, but I don't really know how you do it. And we were like, it's all right, Eric, we've got you. We'll carry on. We'll take it from here. Let's go back to a moment of really getting into the impact of, you know, as a society, really coming from this belief that love is something you get from this one special romantic partner in life. So let's start with in relationships. The impact.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a relationship, and this was definitely me for years and years until about 8 years ago, I would say that I looked to that partner to be that source of happiness and love for me. And then, of course, I was constantly disappointed in my relationships and feeling resentful because I'm wanting this other person to fulfill all my needs and having these huge expectations on the relationship, on them, and putting a huge amount of pressure on the relationship. And of course, they could never meet these expectations because no one could ever meet them. I was the one who had to become my source of happiness and love, but I didn't know. And I just wish, like you were saying, I just wish that someone had told me growing up that that's not what love is about and that's not where love comes from. And so now it comes as no surprise that the relationship that I'm in now is so much richer and so much more fulfilling because I'm generating my own love and happiness, but also I get to share it with him because he's also doing the same. And I've never experienced that before. It was like a revelation of how differently I could then experience a relationship because I was investing in my own relationship with myself. And there is a wonderful teacher on love called Robert Holden, and he wrote a book called Lovability. And he talks about your relationship with yourself setting the tone for every relationship that you then have. And I really believe that to be true. I think the quality of our internal relationship is then reflected outside in our external relationships as well. So they then go on to flourish and be even more fulfilling, you know, than ever.
It's crazy to think that two people who neglect themselves, don't love themselves, don't like themselves, could possibly fill one another with love. Like, and also the idea that I would give someone else the job of making me happy and making me feel loved 24/7. And because even if, like, because when they have an off day, they haven't got much to give. Well, that's ruined my day because you're my source. So, like, where's my source of love gone? The pressure on relationships and therefore the pressure on dating. Who here is dating? Just out of interest. A couple of people dating. So I spent a long time dating. If anyone knows the Project Love story, that is how Vicky and I first met. And when I was going into it with this idea that I was not just looking for someone to have a healthy, happy relationship with, but I was looking for the person that would fill me with the love I had never ever managed to fully experience because I had been in some long-term relationships, but not for a long time. The pressure of that, the pressure to find that person, which of course didn't exist because I was also looking for perfection, it brought so much pressure to that dating experience and also desperation. Because until I found that person, I genuinely felt like I would never be able to feel and experience love. And therefore, I'd never be able to just be at peace until I found that person. So when I discovered that I could be that source of love, it blew my mind. I remember sitting next to my now partner And I said to him, and I just met him at a party at Vicky's house. And I said, I'm single and I never thought I could be this happy without being in a relationship. I thought this kind of happiness, this kind of peace, this kind of like joy just in myself, I thought that could only come from being in a relationship. I was just like, it's like I've discovered a best kept secret and Vicky and I are going to go out there and share it with everyone. And he was just like, oh my God, I need to date this woman. So of course that was, of course, sod's law. It was, you know, and as not just sod's law, that is how it works. But of course, when I finally realized, and I'm so grateful that I did, I'm so grateful that it didn't happen earlier, because I did get to go through that experience and realize that that is how I discovered that I could be the source of love in my life. And then, of course, I found my way to a happy, healthy relationship because I was coming from that place. And it also means that I didn't go into that relationship expecting him to suddenly be the thing that gave me that sense of peace and happiness, because I already had it. So he was an additional source of love, but not the source.
Mm. And this is a journey, it's a process, it's not a destination. So now I've got self-love and I'll never slip into that again. You know, we have to remind ourselves constantly of this very lesson. And it's like returning to that place of self-love within. Like, I actually got stuck in it a little bit today when I was preparing for this podcast and my husband was making himself lunch and I was expecting him to make me lunch because I'm busy, I've got a podcast to prepare for, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, check myself. No, it's not his job to make sure I have a good lunch before my event tonight. So it's just like constant checking in. And, you know, it's like journey. It's not like you reach this destination and then all your relationships are flourishing. It's just constant, sometimes course correcting, you know, bringing yourself back.
I think what's really lovely now is that we really are starting to see conversations about different kinds of relationships and different sources of love. So for us, and we will talk lots about this tonight, obviously we feel that self-love is really at the heart of it, but also, you know, the love of friendship and you know, my love for my career. I for a long time have said, long before I even found love with myself, I loved my career. It was, I always used to, and I still say, it's one of the loves of my life. And so to be able to find that kind of love and love in, you know, being of service, and Dolly Alderton with her book about, is it Things I Know About Love?
Yeah, Everything I Know About Love.
Everything I Know About Love, yeah. Really kind of reminding us of how powerful, important friendship is.
Yeah.
And I think particularly when I was younger, because I was so obsessed and focused on finding that source of love, I didn't even consider that it could really come from other aspects of my life. Like that, when I grew up, there was never ever any conversation where, certainly not at school, where they said, you know, you can really find incredible love in within you and cultivating a loving friendship with yourself. You can become your own best friend. They never said, you can, you know what, a career can be an incredible source of fulfillment. And also just telling you, like, there's what wonderful power there is in being able to be that person for you. Did anyone ever have, I'm just curious, did anyone have that conversation around them as a child growing up? You did.
Oh, wow.
I do. I want it, yeah. But they're just for people listening to the podcast, just two out of the entire room put their hands up. But I would like to hear, if you're willing to share.
Oh, yeah, sure, I'm willing to share. I think also it's telling that we're from the same culture. We're from a country where the gender pay gap is lowest in the world, where all of my mother's, all women I knew worked. From my mother's generation, my generation, and still do. So we come from a place where you work first. You are yourself first. And we never were taught to look for the one. It never figured in any conversations. It was, what, you know, my mother's a university professor. It was, what are you going to do in life? And are you not going to have children too early? So I come from a different place. I need to learn to be with somebody because I don't need it. So I've got a different challenge than is being mentioned.
Natasha? I think I was never taught to look for one, but I succumbed to all the Disney princess dreams.
But hang on, where... Where are you from?
Slovenia.
Ah, Slovenia. Right, I've got to get myself Slovenia. That's so inspiring, but that's amazing. But so, yes, yeah, so on the flip side, then would you say it's sort of, you know, independent, strong women thinking of work first, and now you're looking, well, how do I, because I do want to be in a relationship, but...
I've been in too many relationships that I never felt added enough value to my life. So I think if somebody makes my life better than it is, then that's great. But, you know, at 50 and probably 12 long-term relationships of over a year, I'm good. I'm good for the moment.
Isn't that an amazing freedom to be able to... You don't know the difference. Well, let me tell you the difference coming from, like, from my experience, that before I realized that I could, you know, my work and my relationship myself, my relationship with my friends could fulfill me to that degree, it just felt like I had to find that person. Because without it, I was never going to experience being at peace, being happy, being fulfilled. So when I finally discovered that I could fill myself up, I could stand in love, the freedom, I felt released. And that completely impacted then, didn't it, on my dating experience? Because then I wasn't running around looking for someone, please fill me up with love because I can't do it for myself. And I really, like, I was supposed to be married with kids like 5 years ago. And, you know, time is really ticking on. I've waited too long now. I suddenly was just like, I'm looking forward to being in a relationship, but I can wait because I'm feeling really good like this.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you talk about your love with your work, because I had never, until Project Love, I'd never experienced a love with my work. And so that's a new love of mine. And Project Love is a love story, because we, getting together, we helped each other to find love. So we helped Selena to find love, a loving partner. We helped me to find love in my work that I'd never experienced before. And now I think that there is that conversation about other forms of love and celebrating those other forms of love as well. And, you know, the Greeks had 7 different forms of love, 7 different types of love. Friendship was one of them, and self-love. And they acknowledge that, and the different types of love that you can have in a romantic relationship as well. And there's such a positive thing now to have that conversation about the different facets of love, because it shows that there's becoming a bit more of a sense of equality amongst our relationships, and not putting all of our pressure on the romantic partner as well. And there's a quote that we absolutely love, and it's, put more friendship into your romance and put more romance into your friendships. And it's just like, again, it's like, it's bringing that more of a sense of equality into your relationship, so that you're just not putting so much pressure on one person to meet all of your needs.
What is really exciting, I think, then, is that we are starting to see a shift. And, you know, obviously now the self-love movement is rising up, and that is very much what Project Love is all about. And we are starting to see it, I think, more in films and more in Disney films, that the narratives now aren't about, hey, ladies, a guy's going to come and complete you, you know, whichever way, sort of, you know, and male and female, that it's not about that anymore. When you learn to truly love yourself and become the source of love in your life, everything changes. And it really, truly, I've experienced it, and it really does. Your life transforms from the inside out. If you have ambitions for this year, things you want to make happen, goals you want to achieve, then self-love is the fuel that will help you make it happen while remaining grounded, fulfilled, and in flow. If you're looking for a loving partner in life, then self-love is the magic that will attract that person in. If you're in a relationship, self-love is the glue that will keep you together and keep the love flowing. And if you're a parent wanting to create a happy home for you and your family, then self-love is your secret weapon. And this is stuff, not just stuff that we write about or that we read about, but we've experienced it. I say we've experienced it because it's not like we're there now. Thank you.
Yes.
Smugly, we live 24/7 in a space of self-love, and it's glorious. I kind of pop in and pop out of it. Like, and I think that's how it's always going to be. Mm-hmm. Because if you hit my reset button, I definitely don't go, my automatic is not to be a self-loving person. my automatic, my sort of natural programming is to give myself a hard time and to push myself. And I love elements of that. You know, I like being a warrior woman, yeah. But she kind of rolls her eyes at self-love and is like, yeah, yeah, all right. Oh, I'll eat lunch today, whatever, carry on. You know, that's like, that is not self-love. You're just literally maintaining yourself to an adequate degree. So for me... And it's, you know, tomorrow is launching 28 Days of Love, which is a totally free challenge. We'd love you all to get involved. It's over on Instagram. And it's really just encouraging you to do one simple loving thing for yourself in the day. And as we were like, we're going to do 28 Days of Love again, I was kind of just like, aren't we a bit like, are we a bit over self-love? You know, like, a bit more we can do this time, like, add something to it. And I said to Vika, I don't know if this is me resisting self-love or if maybe, like, yeah, maybe, you know, the moon of society has moved on. Maybe, you know, it's not, we need more than self-love. And then I realised I was massively resisting it. And what I needed more than anything was self-love. And I got into this space of, like, just kind of going through the motions, doing the things, giving myself a candlelit bath and, you know, occasionally buying myself flowers and taking myself out for a coffee. But what was missing was really doing it with love. So there's one thing, like, you can run yourself a bath, right, more light the candles, get an, oh, that was nice, right, well done, okay, yeah, off we go. Yeah, tick, did it, there you go. See, I'm still self-loving. Don't know why I'm feeling so run down all the time. Versus, like, really activating that loving voice inside. Mm. So when I'm running the bath, being, like, really caring, like, slow down, like, you really deserve this break tonight, so just take your time. Why don't you light a few candles and, like, maybe say some gratitudes and, like, really enjoy this moment. Like, have a word with Fons, my partner, and say to him, look, can you just keep this toddler free for the next hour or so, because I really want to enjoy this break. And, like, really, when you're sitting there, making sure that that inner talk is loving talk, not just okay talk, but really loving talk. This is not a natural state for me. I was not born this way. My parents didn't raise me to be like this. My mum never said to me, you know, you should really speak to yourself with a loving voice. Life is going to be so much easier. Because she didn't do that. She doesn't do it now. So it's something that, you know, we've constantly got to be encouraging one another to do and to recognize that, you know, this is not an opportunity to now try and be a perfectionist and to now kind of, like, turn it into a competition. Note to self, always like to do that. And, yeah, to just to recognise it's just about, you have a choice to just add a few more moments in the day when you are really engaging that loving voice. And it's simple, but it's also, it's not easy. But we do have some practical things that you can start doing.
Just going back to what you were saying about these daily acts of love, it then doesn't matter what you do, it's just the act of love, the energy of love that's around it. So it really, you know, doesn't need to be, and this is what we discovered when we ran this self-love challenge back in 2016. We both got caught up in this at some point in the challenge. Oh, it has to be really Instagram worthy. I'm not going to post my bath again because, like, I've already done that. Like, that doesn't count. Oh, I need to have creative, more interesting acts of love. And then you can get so stuck in that ego mindset of just, like, wanting to have the best, you know, Instagram worthy acts of love. And that's not what this is about.
Or trying to do it really well.
Yeah.
Or, like, trying to be really unique in my self-love acts. Just like, oh, wow, you've really missed the point, Selena. Yeah.
We learned a lot through that challenge. It was so interesting because you would expect, oh my God, this will be great. 28 days where we just do one loving thing for ourselves each day. Amazing.
Doesn't that sound lovely?
You wouldn't have thought the journey that we went on and all the lessons that we learned.
You talk about then, just getting ready for launching 28 Days of Love now. I've gone through that journey. I was like, wow, I forgot how much I resisted it. And actually, that might be a good... I know we've jumped to a different part of the thing, but just talking about the resistance to self-love, because I really, that there is a part of me that, despite the job that I have dedicated my life to, I still internally sometimes roll my eyes at, like, self-love. Because it just, and I'm curious, does anyone else, or is it literally just trying, oh good, I'm not alone, about half the room. I'm just interested, raise your hand if you'd like to share where you think that comes from, where that resistance is.
Honestly, breaking it down, I guess probably thinking you're not worthy. I think that's what it is. because I've tried it before, and yeah, by day two you're kind of, oh, there's a million other things I can be doing, and you're not feeling that intention. You're right, it's just the action. So yeah, that's probably what it is.
You went right to the core.
Yeah, right in deep there.
Sorry. Right to the depths. Yeah, but that, I mean, that I so much so, we asked that this on Instagram the other day in preparation for this talk, and so many people said not feeling worthy, not feeling deserving, not prioritizing it, feeling like I don't have the time. That's my one. I don't have the time. I'm a working mother. I possibly have the time. This self-love, nice to have. It's selfish. It's self-indulgent. Who has that one going on in the background? A few of you. Yeah, we had a lot of people saying that on Instagram.
And saying it's narcissistic.
Yeah.
It's literally the opposite.
It's literally the opposite, because people, and everyone always loves that Instagram post about you can't pour from an empty cup. We get more likes on that than any other. Everyone knows this instinctively. Like, when you're filled up with love and you're really giving yourself the love that you need and that you flourish from, you have so much more love to give everyone else. You know, it immediately impacts on relationships. If you are in a relationship and things are like falling apart a bit, the first thing to do is for each of the individuals in that relationship to look at how their own self-care. Because so often that is what's missing, is the self-care and self-love within themselves. But, you know, I see this all the time of people who are filling themselves up with love, learning to love themselves, finding, because I particularly work with people to find, you know, career love. They don't become a narcissistic, selfish person that's only thinking of what they can do now to fill themselves with love. They then want to go out there and put love into the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally the opposite. You have so much more to give when you fill yourself up. But I think, but personally for me, it really comes from this narrative that to be a good woman, to be a good person, but I think particularly for me, to be a good woman, and then when I became a mum, it's just like, I should not have needs. Like, that is not, I no longer should have any needs. My entire fulfillment should now come from being of service to others and looking after others' needs. And so that whole selfishness and that, you know, self-indulgent thing, it still runs on in the background. So it's still there. You know, my resistance to self-love is still there. But I now know the difference it makes. And so it's just every day make a conscious choice.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to make time to do at least one thing. But that can then set the tone for the rest of the day.
Yeah, and it's that difference, isn't it, with self-sacrifice versus self-love. And it's that constant reminder to bring ourselves back. Then we had another Instagram post that people loved, and it was choose self-love, not self-destruct. But it's just a constant reminder, and as we say, it's a journey. We have some other acts of love and ways that you can practice self-love that we wanted to share with you. So when I help clients get ready for love and get ready for a loving relationship, sometimes they might be quite new to self-love, so we always start with a daily check-in with themselves. And if they're low on time, it can simply be sitting in bed when you wake up, and rather than reaching for your phone and scrolling on Instagram or whatever else, you sit and maybe you could put your hand on your heart and you take a few breaths and you just sit with yourself and be present with yourself just for a few minutes, and just sit with whatever you're feeling. So if it's sadness or anger, emotions that we usually try to suppress and resist, you know, just letting yourself feel those more challenging emotions and just feeling your feelings. And that is such a huge act of love to give to yourself, particularly if you're new to self-love and new on that journey. And just being present. There's a wonderful quote by a guy called David Rico. He's another one of our teachers on self-love. And he talks about love as another way of being present. And if you think about love in relationships and when you're present with each other, and this emphasis on quality time that many relationship therapists talk about, you know, when they help couples to connect again, you know, spending that quality time with themselves. You know, it's the same with us. Like, we need to be present with our own own emotions and our own feelings, and just to spend that quality time with ourselves. So it's using whatever time you have. If you only have 5 minutes a day, just sit and just give yourself that time. If you have a bit longer, journaling is one of my favourite exercises to just connect, again, connect deeply with myself. And sometimes it's a place to give myself compassion and love if I'm pushing myself, which is actually what happened the other day. Found myself on the weekend feeling absolutely knackered, and then as I started writing about it, I realised, of course I'm knackered, like, I've got a lot on and spinning lots of plates. And like, okay, let's bring in some compassion for myself, and like a bit of a high five, yeah, you're doing really well, babe, like tell myself that, do you know what I mean? Sometimes I'll sit in the bath and tell myself, you got this, babe, like you're doing really well and I'm really proud of you.
Does anyone feel that the idea of speaking to themselves like that, does that feel like an alien concept? Yeah, okay, yeah. So that's exactly how I used to feel. And I think, well, there's a couple of things. First of all, if you're really at the start of your journey of learning to love yourself, and the place to start, because a lot of people are like, self-love, I mean, I'm not that person. That was absolutely me. A good place to start is self-nourishment. So ask yourself, what can I do to nourish myself? And really focus on the self-care and think about the food that you feed yourself with, making sure you get plenty of rest. You know, if it's getting out, walking in the park, whatever, you know, ask yourself, what do I need to feel nourished before you graduate and head to self-love? And you can spend some time in that, you know, that can feel, does that feel a safer space to be in self-nourishment? Yeah, so that feels more doable, doesn't it? Look, Amy's all beaming. I can do that. I can nourish myself. But also, you absolutely can be that person to yourself, be that loving, supportive, like nurturing person, because I bet you're that person to other people in your lives. So who is that person to other people in their lives? The ones they really like. So everyone's put their hands up. So it's about turning that loving voice, that loving attention in on yourself. One of the things that really worked for me, this doesn't work for everyone, but really worked for me, was to write letters to myself as if they were from my wise, older, loving self. So I imagined what I would, you know, imagine myself as this 80-year-old, really wise, loving version of me. And she would write letters back to me, letters of encouragement, letters of support, because she knew exactly what I was feeling in that moment. So she would acknowledge my fears. She'd be like, I know this is really hard for you right now. I know that you're feeling sad. I know that you're feeling alone. But you've, you know, and I would give myself like encouragement and support and say, you know, you've got this, and you know, all that kind of just yeah, love and encouragement, support, and just even thinking, what would I love someone to say to me right now? And you can think, you can think, well, I'm having to do it for myself because no one else would do it for me. But actually, it does. You do experience it exactly the same, even if those words are coming from you. And actually, I think sometimes when those words come from me now, it feels even more special. Because I used to be so horrible to me. So it's just like, you know, when I think about the difference. And I think, so yeah, take it slowly. Try out those letters to yourself. That's definitely one that's been huge for me. Actually, one of the things you were telling me earlier, because it's interesting with Vicky's journey with self-love, because mine was when I was single. And, you know, often there's that thing, until you really love yourself, you're not going to find, you know, you can't... What is the saying?
It's not that,
it's
what
RuPaul,
I just said there.
I think, unless you love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone knows it, that one.
Yeah, but actually what's so interesting about Vicky's journey is that you were in a relationship when you started on your self-love journey. Yeah. You were telling me, which I didn't know about today, that for you it really began with meditating.
Yeah. Yeah, so I always, whenever I saw, you know, read about the conversation about self-love, it was always that you had to have it first before the relationship. And I was always quite confused about that, because I went on my own self-love journey in my relationship that I'm in now about 8 years ago. And the first thing that I discovered on that journey was meditation. So it was back in, I think it was 2012. When Headspace, you've probably all heard of Headspace now, it was really in its infancy, and a friend of mine was It's a friend of hers that co-founded the company. So she's telling me about this meditation app, and I'd never meditated before. And she was like, why don't you just give it a try? I think she was using it. And so I downloaded this app and I tried it. And it was the first time that I'd really just sat with myself and was really present with myself and just was able to tune into how I was feeling on a day-to-day basis. And every morning, I was doing these courses on there. So every morning I would sit down and there would be a new meditation and there would be a time for reflection afterwards. And then it would get me thinking about things. And then I'd start to think about things throughout the day. And maybe sometimes I'd write stuff down. And it was there that I actually realized that I wasn't feeling happy and fulfilled in my career and that maybe I could do something about that. But before that, I was so stuck in negativity and thinking that it was other people's fault, blaming others or blaming the job and not realizing that I had the power to change it if I wasn't happy. And, you know, I'd get home from work and just be complaining all the time about my work. And a couple of my friends who were living with me at the time are here. They will be able to attest to this. We would get home and be in the kitchen cooking chili really aggressively and complaining about our work. And when I moved in with my partner, I did the same with him. You know, you get home and you just complain about your work. And then he
was like,
"That's
what you do."
He was like, "No, I don't want to hear this. What are you doing about this? I'm not just going to hear this day in, day out." And then as I started to tune in and realize that I could change it, you know, that I could control, I think just starting with the fact that I could control my thoughts so I didn't have to be engaging with this negativity every day, I could choose more positive thoughts. I could choose more loving thoughts. I could choose to speak to myself with love and maybe I could, you know, make a loving choice for myself that was, you know, something that took this seriously and where I was able to, you know, do something about it. And we met around that time, luckily, and I was able to, you know, go on to change career and had a great career coach sitting right next to me.
Thank you.
But it was there that I found that love of my life, that the love with my work that I'd never experienced. But I think it was going on that self-love journey. I now see all of my relationships are much stronger and richer because my own relationship is as well. I've really seen the difference in my friendships and, you know, my relationship with my partner. All of those relationships are flourishing right now, and I think it's because I now invest in my own, you know, relationship with myself.
Just hearing you talking about meditation, because I was just like, meditation is not my thing. And I think it's really important in all of this is to recognize that, you know, if meditation or writing letters to yourself or journaling, for example, some of those will be your thing and some of them won't be. And that's absolutely fine. You need to kind of find the things that work for you. And it's interesting, we talk in relationships about languages of love. I don't know if anyone's read... I actually haven't fully read the book, but I've read the back. No, but I know the concept. So it's just this idea that in relationships, everyone has a different way of expressing love and a different way of receiving love. And it's really interesting when you actually look at in within the context of loving yourself.
Yeah.
So some people are really sensual. Some people like get, you know, really feel love from themselves when they're giving themselves like a really lovely like body lotion and giving themselves a massage. You know, other people, it's quality time.
Yeah.
So take yourself on dates. Going on dates with yourself is absolute, for me, was such a game changer. Like hanging out with me, being a friend to me. I remember going to the cinema for the first time on my own. I was just like, oh my God. It felt rebellious.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do, I mean,
like,
this
I'm not supposed to be.
I'm not supposed to be doing this kind of thing, just hanging out with me. And just over time, and at first, you know, in all honesty, the first date with myself was probably having a piece of cake and a coffee. And with a magazine, so, you know, I didn't feel self-conscious. I was on my own. But slowly but surely kind of built that up. And that was really from the artist's way. Mm. It was talking about going on artist dates with yourself. So thinking the kind of things you would normally do with a friend and taking yourself out on that kind of date. Who here has done a date with themselves? Yeah, lots of nodding heads. No one was like, no, it's horrible.
I hated it.
But it is, and so much of it is about taking that time to get to know yourself and listen to yourself. And journaling for me is something that I used to do before having a child. Now I feel like I don't know where I'm going to find that time. I probably could. If I really love journaling, then I would find that time. And you know, any parents here, any parents listening, it's just about becoming more creative about how you find those pockets of time. That what things that work for me is using my voice notes. So I walk along as if I were on a conversation with a friend. Actually, I'm just speaking to myself. So first I have a go at saying, you know, just being a bit of a downer, I'm feeling like this, I'm feeling like that, and just get it all off my chest. And then I be the supportive friend. So being like, okay, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? What if you go and ask so-and-so for help? Or what if you go and take a break now? You know, so kind of like having that conversation with myself. And that is, that really is at the heart of it, what it's about. It's going back to that, you know, doing these things with that loving voice engaged, you know, like when you're running the bath rather than just sort of matter of fact. Because it is that loving voice when, for example, you were sort of day in, day out saying, I don't like my job, I'm miserable, I don't like my job. The loving voice will go, well, then let's do something about this.
Yeah.
You know, what would that loving friend say to you? Let's do something about this. Of course you can change it. Go and get the help you need to change it. Or, you know,
and believing that you can change it.
Yeah, exactly. And giving you, so you get so much confidence when you've got that person inside, you know, saying you can do this and being loving and supportive. I'd love to know if you'd like to share some of the things that you do to show yourself love that we haven't talked about.
I think something that really helped me was once I was having a hard time and a friend of mine said, you know who is actually having a hard time here now? It's your inner child, isn't it? So what does your inner child need now? And I was just like, wow, it really changed as well the way that I looked at things, to the point that I now have a picture of myself as a child, you know, in my room. So sometimes I just look at that child and I ask myself, like, what do I need? Sometimes it's as simple as going for a walk or having an ice cream or, you know, whatever. It makes you feel more nourished and loved.
I love that. Yeah, I had the same thing, actually. I've now got a picture of me as a child near my desk to remind me that sometimes it's about filling that need. Sometimes it's like mothering yourself, and other times it's like wooing yourself and romancing yourself like a loving partner. So just really depending on what you actually need there and then. Yeah.
I think so much of it is about, yeah, letting those, recognizing you have those different aspects of yourself and getting into conversation with them. I went on what I've decided is a self-love run. I did my first one a couple of days ago, and I went running, and it's the same, because it was the same same intention of like, I'm going to go on this run and I must only allow my loving voice to be like grabbing the mic for this run. And for a moment I kind of sort of lost a grip on it, and suddenly that nasty mean side of me was back in and sort of like grabbing the radio waves. And then the loving one came in, she's like, hold on a minute, we said for this run I'm going to be the one that's speaking, so now I've got your attention. And I had a conversation in my head between my loving voice and me and the nasty voice, and that might sound crazy, but it really worked. And I think it's really powerful. Like, I mean, again, that might work for some people, might not work for others, but I think it really helps to, again, it's getting to know yourself and the different sides of yourself. And even having that conversation with that nasty, mean side of me, the idea wasn't to boot her out and say she wasn't welcome. The loving side was like, look, I want to hear what you've got to say, but you got to tone it down and stop being like, and we're going to go, we're going to show them, and all this. It's just like, I want to hear what you got to say, but I'm the one that's, I'm going to give you a few suggestions of different ways that we could deal with this situation. And it was so weird, it really worked. The angry, like, mean one, when she was being heard and she was being listened, and she was being told, we're going to do something about this, she calmed down. So that just works for me, that kind of, yeah. So just sharing something, my inner workings.
and exactly as you say, finding whatever works for you that helps you to be there for yourself and listen to yourself and let yourself voice these things. Sometimes it might be, you know, expressing anger through a boxing class or something. It might not even need to be spoken. Some people, it's more about speaking it. Other people, maybe writing it. Other people, maybe physically expressing it through the body. So,
Or painting it.
Or painting it.
I wish I was that person.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely
rather
not
the mad
person.
One on a run, speaking to myself. Yeah. But, you know, whatever works.
Yeah, but going back to the languages of love, it's there are three others. There's quality time. There's the words of affirmation, so the compliments and sending somebody a lovely text message to let them know that you're thinking of them. You're thinking about what you actually crave from a romantic partner, that'll probably give you an indication of what it is that you're craving within yourself. You know, ours are the same, words of affirmation, quality time. There's acts of service, that's an interesting one. My husband, I think this is his, like errands around the house and walking the dog, doing the life admin, errands, running errands, you know, kind gestures, things like that that really help out, you know, around the house. For him, when I do those things, I see that that's like me communicating love. But he doesn't have the same love language as me. So where I really prioritize the date nights and want to spend time with him, he loves that too. Of course, they're all amazing. But for him, I think it's the strongest when it's like the acts of service. Like that's when he really recognizes, oh, she's showing love for me. And the other one is gifts. So, you know, present, something that you've made for yourself or others, or buying a present for yourself or others. So that could be quite a nice, if you're not sure what to, how to practice self-love, you know, maybe have a think about what your love language could be. There's a quiz, actually, if you want to try it. The guy's called Gary Chapman, who wrote the book on love languages, and there's a quiz on his website. So do check that out if you're curious about that.
Do you guys at this stage have any questions you want to ask us? Oh, yeah.
Thanks. I was just wondering, you know, you guys kind of talk about the shitty committee, that kind of negative voice that you were just referring to. And I love that phrase, by the way.
It really works.
It's so accurate. Why do you think there is such a big connection with self-love and your shitty committee? And that, you know, when you talk about self-nourishment and stuff, it can be quite easy to think, you shouldn't have gone to that yoga class, you've got loads of work to do. So even when you do something good, that kind of critical voice can still creep in. I was just wondering why you think, is it something that's trying to balance out, or are you kind of have to stamp that out eventually? Like, how do you think it works, like the play between the two?
I think it's because of the way that most of us were brought up, particularly what we've been told of what it is to be an adult. You know, like I was saying, that for me, my understanding of what is to be a good person, a good woman, a good mother was to, you know, be busy, making things happen, looking after people, looking after other people's needs.
Yeah.
At no point was any value added to me looking after myself and really loving myself. That wasn't drummed into me, like, at all. This is so new to me. I now, having done it, you know, and I now realize the power of it, and actually in doing that I have so much more to give to people, but there is still a very, very strong ingrained narrative that's just like, stop thinking of yourself, stop being so selfish, all of this thinking about you. You know, who are you to think that you could be spending time doing that when they're, you know, you should be sorting out the house. Like old narratives about, I mean, that have been in my bloodline for millennia, of what women do is to look after the house and stay at home and cook. I don't even cook.
I don't even cook either.
And I really don't look after the house well. Like, I'm very much not a domestic goddess. And so there's a lot of judgment. I mean, it's quite deep buried now, the judgment in me. I've let go of most of it, I think. But you know, there is so... I think it's... I really think so much of it is down to our programming. And so much of this is unlearning and relearning and having a new narrative that we are consciously subscribing to, while knowing that each time we take that up a notch and revisit that and take it up a level, that shitty committee is going to go nuts. Because it's just like, oi, oi, what's, oh, no, even more of this self-absorbed, self-obsessed. And that also comes from my family. Like, I hear the voices of my family being like, isn't it a bit self-indulgent, all this self-love stuff? And it's just like, okay, you know, so that we internalize that, and that becomes our own dark little shitty committee, passing judgment all the time. And just that you're never good, you know, you're not good enough, or you're not good enough. And I think it's recognizing that through no fault of anyone's, really, like, very few of us were brought up in a pure, loving, fully embracing, fully accepting, you are held, you are loved unconditionally. I've never met another human being who is actually brought up in that environment. So we're going to have those cracks where the shitty committee likes to hang out
with its coffee, telling us where we haven't done it well enough, perfectly. Also the idea of perfectionism, you know, and progress in our society. We've got that running. Got a lot of shit to deal with.
I think the thing about the shitty community is that it hates it when you're going out of your comfort zone. So that's when it's, like, rife. It would much prefer if you just never left the house, just stayed in your comfort zone, never took a chance, never took a risk, never went for things that, you know, were, yeah, taking you out of your comfort zone. That's what it would like you to do, and it's part of the brain. It's like the old brain. You know, this brain that we have is not designed for this world, and so we can't sometimes perceive more like, you know, social dangers versus an actual danger. So sometimes, you know, like doing a talk, for example, our brain, our body can react in a way that's like we're being chased by a bear and we're going to die, oh my God, and can totally freak us out.
I have felt
for
like
no
that
reason.
Today. Various moments.
That's how it feels. Like, that's kind of the experience. And so we're having to battle with that as well. And we have a brain that's predisposed for negativity too. So yeah, there is a lot to deal with. But I think when you hear the shitty committee, it's about having that dialogue. So inviting in the loving part of you to have that dialogue with the part of you, because all a part of you, but it's just activating the different sides of you, the fearful part and the loving part. And there's always usually both. So as much as you know, you might hear from the shitty committee, if you tune in, there'll always be a counter to the argument or whatever it's saying. There'll always be a different point of view and a voice that can actually, you know, be the voice of calm. Or, you know, love and support and encouragement, if you let it, if you, you know, are willing to also activate that as well. And it is work, and it does take practice as well. And even if you're very good at it, I think it's always just course correcting and bringing yourself back to that loving place. And Jessica, you know, I had to do it the other day when I just realized that I'm pushing myself too much and I need to have a break. But I think, just as you were saying about the programming, I think our society, we value this output and productivity, and it's all about the results that you can see, and we don't value as much, you know, the input and what we put back in, you know, to our bodies and the self-love and well-being and investing in ourselves. That's actually quite a new thing still, so we need to constantly work with that programming and convince ourselves, no, this is as important as the other stuff, and actually maybe we'll be more productive if we were to have a break. This is my own dialogue. Let's have a break. Probably be more productive and effective. Sounds like a good idea. Yeah great. You know, that's like an insight into my mind. You know, it takes that, like, that dialogue.
And we talk about the shitty committee. So for those of you who haven't heard us talk about the shitty committee before, it's that inner critical negative voice that we all have. And I think we call it that because it's quite fun to be able to sort of take it outside of ourselves for a moment and engage in that dialogue between the loving side and the shitty committee. And to recognise as well when it's there, but you always recognise, like, 3 days in that it's been at play. I mean, it's never like, unfortunately, it doesn't come with an alarm or any kind of, you know, code. But I think it's, the idea is not that you try and suppress it, reject it, because it is a part of you. And Elizabeth Gilbert is brilliant. In her book, Big Magic, she talks about the start of every new creative project. She's got inspiration on one side and she's got fear on the other side. And that is how it is always going to be on every journey. That will never change. And she says to her fear, which is what we call the shitty committee, she says, okay, you're on this, it's like they're going on a car trip, road trip. And she's like, we're in this together. This is how it's going to be. I know, and I'm not even going to try and get rid of you because you are a part of me, but we've got some ground rules. Like, you are not going to be the one in the driving seat. You're not going to be the one holding the map. You're not even going to choose the radio station. But I also accept that you're here. You're part of this process. And that's okay. And I think it's so important as well that we just, fear, doubts, all of that stuff is kind of also what makes us beautiful and vulnerable and what allows us to connect as well. So, but we always talk about, you know, you can learn. And I really I'm an example of this because I have my shitty committee on 24/7. The loving voice was purely reserved for other people. You can turn that shitty committee volume down and you can turn that loving voice up. And it is just about, you know, starting off. That's why 28 Days of Love works so well, because it's just doing one little thing a day where you get to do something that's an act of love to commute to you, and you engage that loving voice. And if you can do that for a couple of minutes a day, 5 minutes, 1 hour, then that's great. Well done, you know.
Talking about the shitty committee, I was just wondering how you can tell the difference between being a realist and it being your shitty committee, and then also the loving voice not being sort of patronising or feeling sorry for yourself. Like, how do you sort of navigate all of those different options?
I think with the shitty committee being a realist, again, it's a bit like that conversation, you know, on my self-love run, where I had that the shitty committee, the nasty, mean side. That the loving side was finally like, let's hear what you've got to say. What is the problem here? Like, what is the issue? If there's something that's a practical thing, okay, then let's go check that out. Or maybe you're right, maybe we need to, I mean, I don't know, we kind of need to talk about a specific situation really to kind of get into it. But I think that it's really about listening to what that fear is saying. And if there's something you can do about it, something you can, okay, well, maybe we need to get some help, or maybe we could, you know, leave for the airport a bit earlier. Whatever it is that's going on. Which is usually my shitty committee's freaking out. But if it feels really irrational, like they're going to hate me, you know, everyone's going to laugh at me. Like mine for today. I'm worried I'm going to run out of things to say.
I mean,
I was like, I know.
We were on the tube, and then I was like, are you actually saying these words?
I was like, I'm aware of the irrationality of this. I've never been a loss of things to say. It's the hardest to keep me shut up. That wasn't my fear, though. So I think it's that if there's something practical you can do about it, but if it's about, like, people are going to laugh, you know, people are going to find out imposter syndrome, which is massive for women. Mm. People are going to find out all that kind of talk. That's when it's shitty committee stuff. And there are things as well you can do with, you know, EFT tapping, which Vicky does, which, you know, helps get into that. Or, you know, talk therapy. There's all sorts of stuff you can actually do to really help bring that volume down and to break through some of where that, you know, that those deeper stuff, like I'm not worthy to give myself self-love, that stuff. There is work that you can do on it. But, yeah, does that help? If there's something practical you can do about it, or something, well, yeah, let's actually go and let's think about this, let's discuss that. But if it's the real irrational stuff, then that is full-blown shitty committee territory.
I think something that might help, it helps me sometimes with that question, because I ask myself that sometimes, is what would I say to a good friend if my friend was in that same situation? That always helps me, because, you know,
And usually if you wouldn't say it out loud to a friend, then maybe that would give you an indication. Because we can so often, you know, it's so easy to give our friends that love, support and encouragement, but yet we would never probably say the things out loud that we say to ourselves, to others. So if you maybe ask yourself, would I say this out loud to a friend? Maybe that would help to see if it's coming from that loving place or not.
Go and say it out loud to a friend. That often, you know, that shines a light on it. Brené Brown talks about this all the time.
Yeah.
You know, all that, what is it, that darkness feeds shame. Again, I'm making some quote up that I can't remember exactly. Yeah, roughly along those lines.
That shame cannot survive being spoken.
There we go.
Sounded very profound
we'll just
then
cut
for a
that
moment.
In. But yeah, I think going and speaking to someone, because, you know, like, I'm worried I'm going to run out of things to say. Your friends are either going to go, okay, well, let's think of some strategies for that. Or they're going to be like, no, that's not going to happen. That is not one of the things you need to worry about, Selena. Like, okay, thank you. Got it. Glad I aired that. Do you wrap up there?
I mean, shall we read some of Frome?
Oh, God, the book.
I know I said that we were going to read a little bit of it.
if you want to.
It's just so beautiful. Okay, we're going to read a little bit because I think it's a really nice message maybe to end on. Okay, so most people see the problem of love primarily as that of being loved rather than that of loving, of one's capacity to love. Hence, the problem to them is how to be loved and how to be lovable. People think that love is simple, but to find the right object to love or to be loved by is difficult. The first step is to become aware that love is an art, just as living is an art. And if we want to learn how to love, then we must proceed in the same way if we want to learn any other art, like music, painting, carpentry, or the art of medicine or engineering. And that was just so key to when we were developing Project Love, because it shows that love is an active verb. It's something that we can do, and it's something that we can practice. And therefore, we can all learn to get really good at love. And just like any area of our lives that we want to have success in, you know, we would train and learn and study. But when it comes to love, it seems like it's unromantic to, you know, to study it, to learn about it. And that's why I think many people get stuck in this idea that it's down to luck or fate. And actually, what we believe is that you can study love, you can learn it, you can practice it, and you can all learn to really get good at love, just as you would approach any area of your life that you want to get really good at.
Yeah. And I think for me, I remember we were sitting in a cafe and I was just like, I don't think I'm very good at loving myself, and I don't think I'm very good at love. But now and I'd read Eric Fromm, I was like, but now I realise that's okay, and I can get good at this. And that's it. It's just practice. And none of us, I think very few of us were born certainly really good at loving ourselves. So like we said at the beginning, you know, supporting one another in doing that.
Yeah.
So, as with all our big conversations at Project Love, we always like to end it with making sure you go away with a few practical actions to take. So those of you here tonight and those of you listening on the podcast, have a think about, of the things you've listened to tonight, two things you can commit to doing this week or next week that shows a little bit of love from you to you. And we would love one of those things to be to join us in 28 Days of Love. It's completely free. Self-love challenge, very simple. Find out about it over on Instagram at Love Project Love, or the website, loveprojectlove.com. But yeah, have a think. If you've got stuff you could write down on, write something down, because these conversations are great. You know, they help us to think differently in different perspectives, but nothing's ever going to change unless we take practical action. So, would anyone like to share what they're going to commit to doing for themselves this week or next? Come on.
Yes. I need to do this again, because I find when I do this, it really helps me. So I want to promise myself to be more consistent with this. It kind of spins on from how to help yourself nourish yourself. And what I do that really helps me is I just really ask myself, what do I want? So I ask my body, what do you want today? So if I wake up, for example, really anxious or pranging out, which I do most mornings, I'm like, what do I want? And I just want to breathe. And it's just asking myself simple things like this. Or like, if I'm having a really good day, I ask myself again, body, what do you want from me today? And like, I just want to be happy, or I just want inner peace. And that just a simple little question, but really checking in on myself, I find really makes such a difference. Like, just that small thing just sets the tone for the day. I'm like, okay, right. And it's not perfect. I don't do it every day. I want to now. But it's just something I find that really helps me check in and kind of, like, brings me down a notch. Like, okay, I can focus on this, or I can do this. And whatever I say, I find naturally throughout the day that expresses itself naturally, and that just occurs because I already set my intention and, like, right, okay, today I'm going to breathe, or today I'm going to focus on that, and it kind of just happens without even thinking too much, like, I got to find self-love, or I got to do this, I got to do that. I think the pressure of that itself really deters you from the path of what you really want to achieve. So I just think, just really checking in on yourself and really asking your body, right, what do I want? And then,
Thank you for sharing that with us. When I worked with a coach called Gail Loveshock, she taught me to ask myself in the mornings, what can I do for you today? And then I wrote it on a post-it, what can I do for you today? So every morning when I was brushing my teeth, I asked myself the question. And like you were saying, I naturally would make a positive choice for myself, a loving choice for myself throughout the day. And it's kind of like daily acts of love. Every day you would then go off and effortlessly do something loving for yourself each day.
And also
that.
Putting it as a like an alert on your phone. Didn't you used to do that? Didn't you used to
have
it popping up?
I still do. Yeah. I have a little alert on my phone at 1 o'clock every day, and it says, how are you doing? And the emoji with the heart eyes.
The emoji is important.
That is key.
Who else would like to share one of the things they're going to, or both the things they're going to do?
I write myself little love notes. If I nailed a meeting, or I did really well on a call, I just write myself little love notes, like, well done, you nailed it, girl, or
yay,
go, go, go. And I'll just do them through the day in the same way that I might praise my team when they've done really well. I just do that back to me. And I just think that's quite important, particularly for senior women.
Yeah.
Totally.
In business.
That's brilliant. I think, and everyone can do that as well. I did it on here.
I've got,
you got this, and a heart. Start here, because, you know...
And you got this. I was like, I could have done a wink, but that heart's fine. Yeah, but no, I think absolutely. And that kind of praise feels just as good as if it were coming from someone else. And I think that's the bit we don't realise when we haven't done it before. You think it's, well, because I'm not getting it from anyone else. But no, it feels just as good. Yeah, that's great. I love it. I'd love to see the back of your, all the little notes on the face.
I'd always be afraid somebody would find it. But one thing sometimes I do is just to congratulate myself for getting through the day. Some days are actually quite hard just to get through.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's a really good point, because also the other thing about self-love, the idea is not that you're going to be 24/7 full of love and happy. I'm not. Mm. If I expected myself to be that, I'd be walking around, which does sometimes happen, thinking I'm going to, like, with imposter syndrome, thinking I'm a failure because here I am, Project Love, and today I felt rubbish. Mm. But it's just like, that isn't what it is. It's not about being happy all the time. Some days, some parts of life are really hard and really shitty, and just getting through them and saying, well done, you got through today. Mm-hmm. That's you practicing self-love. Yeah, thank you.
So it was probably about a year ago that I was first kind of started listening to the podcast, and lots of friends had recommended it. And when I started, I signed up for Get Ready for Love, and I was really committed, and I did up to about 17, so I didn't complete it. But I took myself on loads of dates and got into the habit of doing lots of stuff for myself. So what I'm going to commit to is just like checking in with myself again and scheduling some time in my new diary and actually having some dates with myself, because I just feel like that's slipped a little bit, and I just think this has really reminded me of like how great that was. And as you said, it was like, it's like really scary at the start, but you really start to enjoy it. And like just putting your phone away and being in the moment, I think is really great. So that's one of the things I'm going to do as part of the 28 days of self-care, which will be my other one.
Yay! Great. Thank you.
That's also going to be something I'm going to focus on in 28 days of love, dates with myself, because I'm very good at lots of areas of self-love, but the romance with myself is definitely lacking. So taking myself on interesting dates and maybe places I've never been, and I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Okay, well, thank you so much for being our first ever, call it studio audience, live audience for our live podcast. Yay! We have absolutely loved it.
Can you come back to all of them?
Yeah, we should just do this every week now. Forget the studio.
We'll
all gather together for the Project Love podcast every Wednesday. Thank you so much to Liberty for having us. Yeah. It's been such a pleasure to be here. It's making us want to buy everything in your store maybe one day. And thank you to you guys for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode, and if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say best podcast ever. Thank you.